Nick.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Oh, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 32. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Hello, how are you?
Subtle. Steve Morgan.
I can't say hello.
Steve Morgan.
Battle Mage!
Titanium Cannon!
And Charles Caldwell.
I'm well, how are you?
I didn't ask you.
Ouch.
I wasn't responding to you, I was responding to Tim.
Oh.
We can always speak when you say our names, so we have to like segment our conversations.
So we are all back from PAX East 2014, and I think we have potentially all caught up on sleep now.
Yeah, finally.
No, barely.
It's PAX weekends are never real good sleeping weekends, but we'll get into some of that stuff later. I think first off we're going to... Why don't we go into a little bit of some news that may have come out of PAX this year? And I think the first thing we should talk about is the announcement of PAX South in San Antonio, which is January. Like, that's soon. I mean, fairly soon. So
yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, I mean, what, like not 8 months?
Yeah.
So you got plan. You got time to plan.
So I think that's a good place to be in January, though. So
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, definitely. I know one of the.
That was, must have been strategic then that they went for somewhere warm, in like the off season.
Yeah.
I was
makes you wonder if some of the exhibitors and sessions and stuff that would come to PAX East otherwise would be going to PAX South, but something tells me that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, PAX East sold out in, what, 4 hours? Like a day?
Yeah.
It was crazy. So, it might not be that popular to begin with, but I could surely see it being pretty popular.
Yeah, I think, you know, PAX East was like a new thing for like our area, you know, be able to... Like, when we found out, wait a minute, there's a video game convention, and it's in Boston? Like, literally, like, an hour away? It was just such a mind-bender. So I know for people, especially fans in Southwest area, there's, like, nothing out there. Like, you gotta go to California, or, I mean, that's it. That's, your closest option.
Las Vegas.
Or maybe, Las Vegas, yeah.
There's a couple things that go on there, but, like... It's crazy. I mean, we out east, we really had nothing except for like New York Comic Con, which isn't so much a game convention as it is, you know, obviously by its name, it's comics, but, I remember Tim and I talked about it like years ago. It was like 2000, I think first PAX East was 2010, and we were like, oh man, this happened? How did we miss this? Like, how could we not go to this? And we're like, okay, next year we're going. And since 2011, we've gone every year, so. so that's exciting.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good news for any listeners who are in the Southwest.
What other news came out of PAX this year? What else is out there?
Well, not necessarily news, but they released... beta keys for Warlords of Draenor at PAX.
Yeah.
Was that part of the panel? How did they decide who got those, though?
I'm pretty sure it was if you waited in line to play, they gave you a key. Which is cool.
Sweet.
I think a lot of people probably get keys in the next couple of months anyway.
Yeah. I saw them on eBay for like, they're all over $70 or $80.
Oh, jeez.
I would have probably sold mine.
If I saw that, for sure.
Then you can get the full game for free.
I mean, it is an advantage, though, if you think that, like people that are, like, hardcore and want to, like, grind out, like, all the stuff, and when the game goes live, they can be, like, first mining and, like, you know, things like that, or, like, know what classes are, like, OP for PvP and stuff, so.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that stuff also changed before it actually
appears. Sure, yeah, but, I mean, it's definitely an advantage to, like, go through the beta and stuff, and they're going to release, like, keys, but I also, too, I guess if you're, like, a streamer, you know, like, you get yourself a guaranteed, like, although I don't think that you're allowed to do that with betas. I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, some people that really want it, I'm sure it's worth it.
Yeah, at least until it goes into open beta, I don't think it'll still be under NDA, you know?
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know about any other news.
Yeah, there was a bunch of minor, like, reveals, like, for games, but I don't know if there was any, like, major, nothing like, supposedly the team that does Civ, like, released a new game at PAX East, but I never heard what it was.
Yeah, I think I heard about that.
I don't remember what the name of that company
Sid Mott.
XCOM Studio Fraxis or something. Yeah. I'll look it up and I'll tell you. But other than that, there was just a lot of little things, and I mean, I can talk about some of the ones that I saw, but nothing like major. Like, cause I mean, last year they announced like Hearthstone, right? So like,
yeah, that was huge.
Yeah,
didn't seem that big at the time, but then again, it snowballed.
Well, I mean, I think it was kind of a disappointment in the sense of like,
it's a card game.
Yeah, they're like Wizards announcing their new game, and it's like it's a card game, and we're all like, cool.
Needless to say, 3 months later, Ryan's addicted.
Yeah. I mean, to be expected that it would, like, be popular. I think we all kind of figured that, but this game is supposedly called Beyond Earth, I guess, and it's, like, a spiritual successor to Alpha Centauri.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That's cool.
So it looks kind of like Hexagon-based, like, fighting. There's, like, aliens and shit.
Like XCOM, The Enemy Within.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like that.
I saw people playing that competitively at PAX this year. I was like, what are you doing?
Damn.
That's too much.
It's very intense.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest news that we came across anyways, in passing. But, I mean, the whole thing is just going about, you know, the whole convention is going to see games. And, I mean, I think this year we saw some good stuff and some bad stuff. Quite a bit of mediocre stuff.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see. I mean, there's only so much you can see in, like, game trailers and stuff, but it's really just to see, like, some of the bigger games that suddenly come out of nowhere. And some of those you haven't even heard of that are suddenly there.
Yeah. I mean, why don't we start it out with a game that I don't think any of us had heard of before, because it's this studio, Xavient? Yeah, Xavient is the developer, and it was their first game.
Yeah, I'd seen this on Steam.
Oh, had you?
I had seen it, but I didn't know that much about it. I mean, I watched some videos on IGN, I think, about it, but
yeah, I hadn't paid any attention to it, and Charles was, like, attracted to it immediately and was like, that looks pretty. I want to go to that.
It's true. The colors, dude. The colors.
Yeah, so this game was called Lichdom Battle Mage, and it's basically it has a Skyrim type of feel.
It's first person
in the way that it is, but essentially it's a first person game where you're essentially just a mage. You're essentially just a mage, and that's all you can be in Skyrim, essentially. But you have a lot more variety to, I guess, like, destructive spells, essentially, right?
Yeah, and, so you can cast fire, you can do, but you can also do like an AoE with that fire, but then you can also do like this weird phase shift dodge through things and then cast a spell. There's a whole different set of controls on based on the typical thing. I spent the longest time sitting there trying to jump by pressing spacebar. I only realized that that's not what it did.
It's like a much faster paced fight style than.
Yeah, it's definitely like Twitch based, but at the same time, it's like it's not like an FPS. It's definitely you kind of have to have a whole different mindset, different strategy for attacking things. Like when I played, I did the usual, you know, back up and shoot mage tactics, but that only works so well because the guys kind of like either shoot at you or run towards you, and you kind of have to like. You have to use the dodge and, like, move out of the way and then drop, you know, there's AoE, there's, like, you know, fireball attacks, there's all different sorts of things, so it's kind of, it takes a while to
really It's funny, the guy with the demo that the guy did, he looked like he was crushing it, it looked so easy, but when we got to the gameplay outside, and we're like,
I mean, and I think one thing we didn't get to see that, that they mentioned in the demo was the whole, like, skill tree that you can kind of like basically build your skill set to exactly the way
build spells the way
you want to play. And it was so we only saw a little bit of that, but it seemed like you could like basically pick and choose different pieces of the tree and different effects and whatnot and make things a little bit more powerful, like your, because the magic was pretty I think a lot of the
ice, fire, and whatever the hell the yellow was.
Like corruption or something. It's kind of weird. I think like if they like beefed that the whole it seemed like when you modified the spells you just kind of like up certain stats, like maybe crit chance or like AoE diameter or stuff like that. But I think if they made it a little bit more complex, it'd be better, because it was kind of felt kind of stale after, even just after one run through. You know, you had your three different sets of spells. Like I think if you could mix and match spells and kind of like combine them and stuff, that'd be cool. But
also more spells, because I mean, obviously they'll need electricity and then some other stuff too. It's like you can't neglect. You can't just stick with fire and ice and corruption.
Granted, it was pre-alpha what we were seeing. Yeah. And it's still, looked really good.
I think if they kind of continue on the route they're on, that, you know, I think at them adding, like, electricity and stuff like that is kind of inevitable. Yeah. If not in the release game, then maybe in, like, an expansion or something.
Yeah, also, I think that, like, they had a whole, like, counter-attacking system in the game that when you could block attacks, and when you did them, you actually would, like, kind of rebound with, like, a barrier spell, so whatever spell you had active. And so it was, like, actually powerful. It was, like, almost an offensive ability. And I think that was, like, really hard when you first started playing to, like, because you don't know attack animations for guys, and I could never, like, I couldn't land it without deliberately just standing there and waiting for the whole entire attack animation to come out. And so I think, like, if it became fast-paced enough and you were comfortable enough, it would actually be a really nice mechanic. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
It was a good game.
What else do we see? What made us happy?
I mean, I think sticking on AAA titles to just stay in that genre, because I think the AAA titles weren't as good as the previous years, but I think that even though I didn't get to go through the whole line and play it, I heard bad things. I thought that Evolve actually looked really good. It was cool, and I got to stand there and kind of, they had all the computers set up for the games. I think they were playing, I don't know what system they're playing on, but they had all the screens set up, like, towards the crowd, and so you could actually stand there and watch, and I got to watch for a good, like, 10 minutes or so people play. It looks really polished, it looks really cool, it's really vibrant, you know, it's got this nice dark contrast of, like, darkness and then flames, and, you know, it looks really... You know, there's a little clunkiness to some of the, like, animations, but for the most part, I was surprised at how, from, like, what I heard about it before, and then all of a sudden, now it's out, and now it's, like, boom, it just, like, looks almost like it's a complete game, so to speak. I was a little, like, concerned, I was a little disappointed when I heard that it was by the people that did Left 4 Dead. And, well, I mean, it's exciting because I know that they have that experience with that style of genre with teamwork. But at the same time, like, Left 4 Dead was the kind of game that was really unforgiving if you didn't have good teamwork. And if you got... It was almost impossible to play with random people because someone would just get eaten by zombies and then you would have to, like, try to save them and then they would just die again. And you know what I mean? Yeah. It was just one of those games that... It was really unforgiving in that sense. So hopefully they do a better job of balancing out the style of game so that you can, like, pick up the slack for other people or have a matchmaking or something, you know?
Yeah, it didn't appear that Evolve had the inevitability of, like, just certain onslaughts of zombies. It was really just about...
That one player. Yeah,
player versus four players. And that's actually, I think, one of the things, the downfalls of how they presented it at PAX is that, I mean... It's one versus four, so you get less people going through. It really kind of sucks.
Sure. Yeah. But, the thing that could be bad, right, is that, like, say, like, you have, it's 4v1, so the whole premise is, like, those four people need to work very well together to beat that one big monster.
Yeah.
And so it could be a situation where, like, you log in, you go to play, and then you get, like, someone who's really bad at, like, being medic or something, and he just runs and he doesn't heal you and he dies, and now you lose and it's over. You know, like...
Yeah, screwed.
Yeah, it could be... I mean, which is cool when you play with your three friends and you, and it's, like, awesome. But, you know... Or if you're the monster, right? Because you can just smash everybody. But, I don't know. We'll see how it is. I'm excited. I thought it was nice. I thought that it looked cool, so...
And we saw the first time I saw the video that they had, it looks amazing. It's probably the same one that they have just on there on YouTube, but after 15 blasts in my ears, I was like, I don't know. You can still hear the music in my head.
There was some really loud shit at PAX this year, too. Can I say
that? Yeah, that was ridiculous.
I think, Charles, you were the one who was saying, or somebody was saying, how, like, how crazy it was because the sound was so directed.
Yeah.
Like, because you'd walk by and you'd only hear it, like, just barely behind you, but as soon as you got to a certain point, you'd be like, oh, God!
Yeah, it would focus it right on a specific place. You're standing in line, and it's even, like, 2 feet, and you're just like, okay, I can hear it a little bit now. Then it's like...
Yeah, I know. In particular, at the Evolve booth, it was just that one. It was that trailer. The trailer that's been out has that one song in it, and it would start building up. But this, it was only loud for that like one section of the song, so you could, like, hear it start, and you're like, oh god, it's coming again, and it, like, blasts right in your face.
Yeah, the same thing happened to us at WildStar. We were waiting in line to play, and they had their line in the area where their main screen and their sound was. So you'd have to stand in line, like, 10 feet away from these, like, ginormous speakers, and they were, like, shoutcasting a match. And they're like, oh, he killed him. I'm like, it hurts, but I don't want to get in a line. But it was like that everywhere. It was like everyone was trying to be louder than everyone else. We were waiting in line to see Project Spark. And we was right next to these BMX bikers, and they're like, oh, a flip! Eh! Like, even the guy at Project Spark was like, all Project Spark booth was just a guy, you know, you as a group of people went and listened to some guy explain the game. It was obviously way too complicated to try. So there he was, like, showing us all these things, and he literally just, like, looked at us, and he's like, this sucks so bad. He's like, no one could hear him, and he's like, this has been happening all day. And I was like, it's cool, dude, man. Just go with it. Like, we're fine. Like,
yeah, can we just talk about the fact that there was, like, a legitimate half pipe, like, built in the center of PAX? And there was, like, I mean, there was semi-pro people BMXing around.
Doing flips and shit, going super high up in the air. And, like, yeah, that was, I have no idea. What was that even for? That's the best part. After all that, I have no fucking idea.
Was it for, I think, wasn't it for Trials Fusion? I think, even though, like, Trials Fusion isn't BMX.
I have no idea. That's the best part about it, is that after all that shit, I never even found out what it was about.
They didn't do a very good job.
They're like, Monster Energy Team! I'm like, cool.
Cool, Monster, very cool.
Monster Energy Drinks. Okay.
Excellent.
What else?
Yeah, what else was good? I went over to some of the indies, some of the indie booths, and I was kind of interested in. I mean, I've seen a lot of Octodad, I don't know if you've seen anything about this. It's Young Horses, and it's coming out for PlayStation 4 soon, either this month or next month. So I was like, I'll go check it out. And I mean, I've seen like demos of it, but I actually got to kind of sit down and play with it a little bit, and it was just like, the game's ridiculous because you have like, it's really weird because it works on like less on like exact movements and more on just like momentum and like swinging of your limbs around and trying to do like really like tiny movement things to like pick certain items up, like pick keys up and put it into a keyhole, but you have like a floppy arm, so it's just kind of like continuously moving all over the place. I mean, it was from what I like the little bit that I played and what I saw like other people playing and stuff, it just looks hilarious, like, and it looks like a like an interesting challenge.
Speaking of floppy arms, remember the slap game that you were playing?
Oh my god. There was this PC Kinect based game that startup developer had made, and basically it was like two like 1800s boxers on top of a train, and their arms were like 8 feet long. And it's all Kinect. And all you did was just move your arms around. So Charles and I stood there and slapped each other.
Slapped everyone around us in a 10 feet radius because they're trying to like.
Of course, the two most enormous people.
And they had to have, like, me back up and then, like, crouch down. And then, like, and then my guy got my, because of the way that it was registering my body, my slapper got, like, morphed into, a black hole blob of just flesh covered.
Crazy, like,
goop.
exorcist back bend and, like. Yeah, it was really
making
weird.
Them
the
shake
like,
their
yeah,
heads.
That's not supposed to happen.
It's definitely ridiculous. Fun to play, though.
Yeah.
Wait. Then you're buying
it. I saw also Hotline Miami 2, which, I mean, if you liked Hotline Miami, you're going to like the second one, too. I didn't get to hear a lot of music, which was unfortunate, because it was pretty loud everywhere.
That's the best part of Hotline Miami 1, so.
I know. That was kind of what I was looking forward to, but I didn't get close enough to actually hear it. The game looks good. It looks like Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
So
just like new, just watched a little bit, there's like new weapons and stuff.
Yeah, new weapons. I think the environments are slightly changed and stuff, but this game's already come out, but the one thing I played that I enjoyed immensely was Goat Simulator. It was just like the most random, weirdest friggin' game. Like, you're just going around, you're headbutting things, you get a rocket pack, like, you like climb this tower, and you go inside, and there's like this whole line of goats that are kneeling down and like bowing down to you, and then there's like basically this evil Satan throne that you crawl into and set yourself on fire, and then you become like the devil goat, and you can summon peasants, and it's just like, it's total nonsense, but it's awesome.
Yeah. I remember watching gameplay, and the goat, like, gets his tongue stuck on, like, a hammer, and you can, like, swing the hammer around on his tongue and, like, knock people out and stuff. Just makes no sense.
That's pretty awesome.
I think it's out on PC, so if you have a little bit extra money, I would suggest it, because it's total nonsensical fun.
Yeah, my brother was playing it a bunch when I was home, and he was like a devil goat, and he had like this move, you could like make his tongue just suck people into a giant ball, and then like he had this like massive ball of like people and cars and shit, and then like if he jumped, it would like fling him, and he would just go flying super high in the air, like way up, like a million feet up. It's crazy. It's awesome. I mean, it's like complete nonsense, but I heard some people PAX saying that they're coming out with a bear simulator. I don't know if this is true. These are just people. Might have been two nerds talking about it.
Oh, yeah, bear simulator.
Stealing picnic baskets.
A picnic basket. Yabba-boo.
There's an alpha trailer for it. I'm going to watch it. Bear simulator. It's got 700,000 views. Oh, my God.
Oh, good God.
First-person shooter. You chase rabbits and shit.
Nonsense.
Man, okay. Anyways.
Anything else good that we see?
No, I think all the other stuff is stuff we're going to cover. I mean, it's both good and bad, so we're going to cover it later, a little bit later on.
Yeah. What about, like, what about some of the panels, Steve, that you saw?
Yeah, so I went to the panel right in the first day from 10 a.m. I went and saw the Blizzard panel, which was talking about Heroes of the Storm. They released 4 new heroes for it. I think there's something like 16 or some so far. But they released 4 new heroes. They released a little fairy dragon hero from WoW. They released a little, like, panda girl healer from, like, I'm guessing from WoW, and then they released a Murloc, baby Murloc, which is pretty cool. Essentially, the hero is like, and they said this literally, they said they wanted to make a hero that was like a level 1 Murloc and just sucked and died a million times, but was super annoying. So they made this hero where you could like put this egg down, and if you die, you just like immediately respawn where the egg is, and like forever. So they just showed it like attacking this guy a million times and like killing him. dying like 10 times and then killing him. And then the last one was like a queen from StarCraft 2. That was pretty cool. And so that was all cool. They showed like some of the retexturing stuff that they'd done. You could really see that like they're going from like very basic models to some really nice looking models, like post WoW, you know, and obviously the scale is like so small, so they don't even need to do that. They talked a bunch about all the stuff they're doing, and you can tell that they just have so many ideas for heroes in that game, because there's just so much to pull from, especially since they're pulling from like NPCs and stuff that, like, you know, they can actually do guys. And there's been guys that they want to do like Deathwing, but they were saying like, well, it's just so big they can't make like certain heroes like in the game because they would just be too big. And it's cool. It's exciting. They obviously like want to like compete with Dota and those other MOBAs, which have like 50-100 heroes. And so
it's funny that they released Puck as one of the heroes, considering that, well, not Puck, you know, like the fairy.
Essentially, yeah.
Because it's Puck from Dota.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, yeah, they're just all releasing the same types of heroes. But like, it's very weird because some of these heroes, like the queen, has like creep tumors, which has vision, and you can like teleport to different like. It's like they're all the buildings from StarCraft 2 and stuff. Like, they're not reanimating, but like they're just very much so different than anything in like Dota. So we'll see how it works out. I think that's you can tell their intention is to try to like take those other games and like add things that are completely new. But I think balancing wise is going to be very difficult, and it's going to be a long process before the game releases. They were really good. Blizzard was the main guy for Blizzard. Super funny, cool guy. Like, you could tell everyone's jazzed, so it was fun. Yeah, that's about it for the Blizzard one. And then, the other one I saw was the Titanfall crew came, and they talked about how the dev studio Respawn, came up from, they were basically a subset of, Infinity Ward, which got, like, cut from Call of Duty. Some of the creators of Call of Duty, so they got cut, and, they had to, like, leave all their stuff and all their, like, old code and their phones and everything. They just started from scratch, essentially, and got some other guys, a guy from God of War 3, some other guys in, and made Titanfall. And they talked about some new stuff that they're releasing, some new maps that are going to be a DLC, and all the new game modes and stuff. It was pretty cool. I mean, they didn't announce anything really major, so they didn't announce, like, any new guns or Titans. They pretty much said that you can add some decals to Titanfall, and they're going to be spending a lot of time trying to just make the game better. And some of that's like talk, but they actually have released a lot of stuff so far. So they've released like pirate servers. They released some things that they even were talking about during the talk, which I just played like today, and I saw some of that stuff implemented in the game. So it's cool that they did that.
Yeah.
And that was it for panels that I went to. So. Did you guys go to panels?
No. Well, I went to I went to the Game Scoop, like the IGN Game Scoop live panel, the live recording of their podcast or whatever. That was good. I mean, it was like the episode. They did a lot of listener audience questions and stuff. And that was at 10:30, like after a party.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed that.
I think they were all like drunk and drinking over there, so
it'd have to be.
It was totally fine. But so I think we've kind of touched on of the things that we saw, the stuff that we actually liked. But there was definitely some stuff that we didn't.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do our top five early on this episode and talk about our top five worst booths at PAX. And number one,
this is the first booth we went to.
Yeah, the first booth. Literally, we stood in.
Because we were super pumped for it too.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We like that. This was one of my most when I found out that this game was going to be there. I was like, "Oh, this is awesome! I definitely have to go there." And so, The Evil Within was probably the worst demo I have ever seen. It's like, I mean, it was embarrassing. You get in there, and there's a guy talking on the screen, sort of, and he's just talking about.
Well, there's a guy in the corner first off. That doesn't say
right,
anything.
Guy in the corner.
It doesn't say anything, and then he kind of just slumps over and presses the X button to start the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he doesn't talk during the demo at all. He doesn't talk about anything that's going on. Like the scenes make no sense. The first one that he showed was just not scary. There was nothing really frightening about it. Like buildings are falling into themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it looked cool. I think the issue is that it was just really, really awkward. Like when you first go in, it's the creator of the game speaking in Japanese with subtitles telling you all these things. It's all right, this is kind of weird. And then then he says, "And here's the game." And then this random dude sitting in the corner starts playing the game. Who is this guy? Normally any other game you go in and the guy's at least hello, I'm whatever. Okay, first I'm going to show you this. But no, just dead silent. This man plays the game. I guess maybe in some scenario they were trying to psych, if it was really scary, then yeah, all right. You're sucking us into this world. But we had zero context. It was just this dude playing this. Not even, it was a post-apocalyptic world where buildings were doing crazy things.
It wasn't scary at all.
What are we doing?
I was more starting to see the quote unquote zombies. The guy's just doo 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 boom 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 doo 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 boom boom boom. There was no suspense. There's nothing.
Yeah, I was more afraid of the guy sitting in the corner than I was of what we were actually watching.
So I didn't go in the booth, and I saw all the videos that were showing on the outside of the booth. And they looked all so bad. They looked they were Half-Life 1 sprite rendering. Things were just going through the guy's hands when he lifted stuff up.
Yeah.
And I was
it was pretty bad. There was a lot of really unoptimized things where he would go to pick up an item and it'd be and then finally he'd pick it up.
The other thing was second segment of the game where you're actually in a place where it could be somewhat scary. It's a little bit darker. You're actually fighting. You actually get to see the enemy that you see in all these trailers. But just because the brightness was so light, there was no suspense on it. It was just you're walking around and then, oh, it's there. Okay. Let me shoot it with a shotgun 4 times. That's the number that you need to shoot in order to kill it. Well, it's automated. He was an autopilot.
He had done this so many times. He did exactly what you're supposed to do. I feel that game doesn't lend well to watching a demo because he went, picked up the little valve thing, mm-hmm. plugged the valve thing in, turned it, opened this door. He would just went zoomed right through. If any of us were playing that, we'd be searching for an hour for what am I supposed to do? Oh, there's a valve. I gotta get that valve and stick it in that hole that's way in that far corner. That's the game right there, not some dude doing it in 20 seconds.
And I mean, even when he was shooting the guy, the shotgun would discharge and then it would be a second before the guy actually got hit. So he would still kind of keep coming and then it'd be oh, his head exploded.
Yeah, and there was no there was no physical damage to the dude, so he would like shoot the. It was like a weird dude in like a butcher outfit with a safe or like barbed wire around it, and he would shoot him in the body, and nothing would happen, and then finally his head would just explode.
Yeah, it's funny. He had like a butcher cloth on, and there was no blood on it. There was nothing. It was just like boom, it was like a blood spurt, and then it was the same as it was before.
Yeah, I mean, I'll forgive the game because it's obviously not done, you know, but at the same time, it's just kind of like
present something more, a little bit more pretty. Yeah. If you're not ready to play the game, then just do a new video or something.
Yeah, right. Do it if there's gonna be like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people who are gonna sit and watch this game and buy it, depending on how it looks. You know what they experience in this room for these 20 minutes is gonna totally affect whether or not they purchase the game. Exactly. So if it's not ready to physically show them gameplay, then make some pretty video and show them that instead.
And then I think the worst part of it all was that we were leaving and they handed us
could you please review our game?
Yeah, they were like,
for these things,
review how you think this demo went. And Charles and I were like,
Game was not scary. Which is what they bill it as. They had a whole video in there. It was like all these people screaming to watching The Evil Within. It's like,
right.
What are they watching? Are they watching the guy in the corner?
Anyway.
Regardless, yeah.
Number two.
Twitch it.
Yeah, that was the hashtag at the Twitch booth. Twitch it. Continue, Charles.
Okay, well, we got in line for this one on Saturday. It was the second day we went there. We wanted to make sure we got in line to get the shirts because they looked nice, and we wanted to. What we thought initially was that it was going to be some sort of like, obviously, live streaming, because that's what Twitch is about. But live streaming whatever game that they had on the TV screen that you stand by when you're going through. So we were waiting. We get in line. We're waiting. The line moves like 5 feet. 40 minutes. It was an excruciatingly slow line. We're waiting in line for like, I don't know, it was like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah. We were we'll talk about some of the swag stuff later, but basically Twitch had a big section in there in like the pamphlet that said that they were giving out t-shirts to the first 250 people. So there were a lot of people who ran to go to Twitch first. And of course we were swag whores just like them and went there first on Saturday to try to get something.
Yeah, we got it.
It was just like, we did get it, but it was just a painfully slow experience. And basically what they were doing is they would let a couple people in, and you would go and you would play some random game. Like they were like, you know, I don't even know how many different like systems and people playing different games. And you would stand with some random person who was live streaming, and then you'd be on a stream playing the game, and then there'd be like a handful of people in that Twitch channel that would just like verbally abuse you while you were playing the game. Like,
yeah, we had 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our game was, what the hell was it? It was like
Trials
Motocross.
Trials Fusion.
Yeah.
It was not fun to play for 5 minutes.
No.
No.
I'm like trying to balance it. I'm like breaking my neck. I laughed a lot, but it was not. It's not like a good game to play for Twitch.
it was not a good game to play after a 3 hour wait.
Like, no.
I would have played anything else besides that.
I honestly would have rather finished our Worms Battleground game on Vita.
Yeah. And the girl's just like, oh yeah, she wasn't even paying attention to the people on this. On the Twitch thing, it's like they're not even like talking to us. They're like, "Holy shit, those people are either those my future ex girlfriend is really short, or those guys are really gigantic."
And we're like, "We are really gigantic."
Yeah,
and she's also very short.
Yeah. That's the best part, is that people are just trolling you guys on Twitch. It like makes me like want to like go back in time and go on Twitch and just talk so much smack about you guys as you're playing.
Yeah. I was so disappointed because they all had all these games and stuff on their TVs too. Like you can go, this is what you're going to be doing for this time period. But you get there and it really made me wonder why the hell the line was so long. Because regardless,
They should have just given out all their swag, and then like people would have done that for like a you know a keychain. So
right.
Anyways,
number three.
What is number three?
Evolve.
Oh God! Yeah. Evolve. After I talked about how so great it was,
yeah,
or how I thought it was cool.
Well, that's,
I mean, there wasn't that much bad about the Evolve. I mean, like we heard a couple of bad things from other people, but I think the worst thing was the fact that like we went later on in the day, and the wait just to play it was 4 hours.
Every single time I walked by it, the guy was just standing with the sign that said "capped at 4 hours." Like. Yeah. That's like almost like a sign that says like leave, you won't get in.
Yeah, I mean to put that in perspective, the floor opens at 10 and closes at 6, so that's 8 hours that the floor is open. So literally, you're half of your day,
50% of the time, yeah,
half of your day at PAX for whatever day you choose to get in line is going to be spent waiting, yeah, doing nothing.
No, thank
like,
you.
That's just. Yeah, I'll sit and watch someone else play.
The thing is, too, like, the problem is, like, a lot of these games, like, I don't think they realize sometimes that, like, we don't need to play the game for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, if I had to wait 4 hours to play the game for 20 minutes, I'd rather wait a half an hour
five
to play
minutes.
The game for
yeah.
5 minutes. Or,
exactly.
Like, 2 minutes
exactly.
or something. Like, it's just, like, it's unnecessary to, like, you know, make the line go that long. Even if I have to sit down right where some other dude was playing and the guy on the other team's crushing me, I don't care. Like, I just want to get a feel for it and, like, kick a couple shots and, like, see how it is. I mean, even if I play for 20 minutes and the game sucks, I'm going to go like, well, you know, it's still new. Like, it doesn't even matter. So it's just like...
Yeah, they were also, for the people playing, they had, like, an employee there. So there were, like, the four people playing the hunters and one person playing the monster. And there was, like, a person sitting behind each person who was, like, a staff member trying to tell them what to do and stuff. And I guess, it, you know, it was kind of annoying to have someone sitting there with you, like, as you're trying to learn this game. Be like, oh, do that or don't do this or, you know.
I also heard that they had one guy for the four hunters and one guy for the beast. So the guy with the four hunters was, like, you know, trying to do his best to, like, get everybody together, like, you know, do this. And then the guy behind the beast was like, yeah, just go kill that guy. Yeah, go eat that thing. Yeah, do that. And, like, he was just crushing everybody, basically.
Yeah.
Because he basically had a dev, like, playing the game for him, behind him.
I hate that. Whether you're playing that game or I was playing Wolfenstein, and the guys come over and they're like, he's like, oh yeah, you should really do this. It's just the worst. It's like, just let me play the game.
It's super frustrating.
Maybe if I come to you, then you can tell me like what the glitch is that makes it so I can't move forward. But don't come over and tell me, oh yeah, you need to.
Yeah. And they try to be all like clever about it, like, ooh, maybe you should go through that door. And you're like, I don't fucking want to go through that door. Yeah. Like, if I wanted to go through that door, I'd be a dev like you and I'd made the game. Like, that's the whole point, right? Like that's the point. Like, they should be there to, like, let you fuck up and do things wrong and show them, like, okay, well, maybe it's not so simple. Or maybe, and then ask you, like, you know, did you enjoy the fucking complications or was it really frustrating? Like, that's the whole point of, like, doing that type of shit. So it drives me nuts, too.
Yep.
But, anyways.
Next.
Evolve. Although, can I just say Evolve did have probably the sickest PAX display.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They had this giant monster that was like two stories high and like drool coming out of its mouth and like giant claws. I think it was like fucking 40 feet by 20 feet.
It was
like huge.
It was awesome.
Ridiculous.
It was definitely the best thing there.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think about it, like, okay, like, that other game, Firefall, had some pretty sweet shit. Like, there's been some, like, you know, companies that had some cool things, but, like, that was by far the coolest. That thing was, like, who gets that thing? I want that thing. I'll put it in my front yard. Put it in my family's front yard.
Yeah, with something like that, it's no wonder that they had a 4-hour wait. I mean, everyone just gravitates towards that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the amount of there was like, blockage in the walkway because everyone was standing there taking pictures for, like, hours on end.
Yeah, thing was sick.
Number four.
But if it's anything, can I just say this though? If it's anything, if I think back all the old PAX displays, the ones that were the best were always games that like died out, like Firefall, Aliens, Colonial Marines, like those are all the coolest, like the ones like, oh, that had the alien with the loader fighting, and then like that game like fucking flopped so damn hard, like you can't even buy it on retail anymore.
When you spend $1 million on a giant monster, that's $1 million you didn't spend on the game itself, you know?
That's Yeah.
Okay, now we can do four.
Number four.
This I walked by this a bunch of times. It just drove me nuts. It was a giant League of Legends, it wasn't a booth. It was like a stadium with a 1,000 people inside of it, and they were like broadcasting games. And they had the commentators commentating on the game as they were playing, and just I just find the commentators so obnoxious because they're like, oh, he knocked him out. All right, okay, I just don't want to listen. I didn't even want to look at the booths around it because I didn't want to listen to these people talk.
The thing is, I kept walking by trying to figure out why, because at PAX, everything's a line. And I go by, and I'm like, and I see all these people, and I'm like, is there a line in this, it's the stage area? Because why are you standing here? Why are you on the edge of the League of Legends zone? You're either in line at PAX or you're trying to get to a line. So, it just, boggled my mind. I didn't understand what was happening. I'm like, is there swag in the center? Are there famous people that you're waiting to talk to? I don't understand why you're standing around here.
Yeah.
It was frustrating to me, too.
Yeah, they were, throwing stuff off the stage. Random stuff, but it was just such an obnoxiously loud. I think that was probably the loudest booth there. It was just... They had a ton of speakers, and it was just so obnoxious.
That's a team boy. Number five.
All right, I want to do this one because this one fucking drove me nuts. And this was the Oculus Rift booth, and I went to it probably 5 times because I how many opportunities am I going to get to actually try the Oculus Rift after every time we talk about it and see it everywhere? And so I'm like, I got to try it. This is a great opportunity. If I'm going to wait 2 hours in line at PAX, I mean, who gives a shit about seeing a game? I want to try some hardware. So I kept going to this, and the line was 20 people long, and there was this and so then it was capped. That was how long the line could be. There was a zone, and then once it was 20 people, the zone was full, and there was just a guy standing at the end with a whiteboard, and it said 20 minute wait. Please come back later. And so then you'd walk up to him, and he would say, you can't get in line. You have to wait 20 minutes. And so you'd be like, well, the second I walk away, and there's a spot, someone's just going to stand in it. So I'm like, bullshit. So then I kind of stand off to the side, and he's like, no, you can't just stand there. You need to keep moving. And I'm just like, so this is bullshit. And it was just people constantly, there's people constantly just, I stood there for probably 3 minutes. This was someone constantly walking up to him going, when can I stand in this line? When can I stand in this line? When can I stand in this line? It's the worst system ever.
It wasn't a boot. They didn't create the booth for the number of people that were coming to PAX. They created it for as if it was some sort of media event that everyone was going to get to going to get to see it at some point. You just have to come back in a little bit. Nope. There are literally 69,000 people that aren't going to get to see it.
It was also in the section of booths that were more hardware purchasing booths, selling stuff. So it was kind of didn't lend itself well to having a long line, which was just poor planning on their part. Because what are they think people aren't going to want to try the Oculus Rift on? Were they crazy?
Yeah, I realized later that there was an Oculus Rift upstairs on one of the Kickstarter games, and there was a 7-person line, and I was like, that's where I should have been. But the game was some weird game where you were in a classroom, and it was and you're, doing a test. I was like, this looks really bad. I was like, this doesn't look like any... This looks like what I do never want to do in an Oculus Rift.
I feel like somebody we knew actually got to use the Oculus Rift, and they said it was
Dean
really
Wright
cool,
bought one.
Just a line for... Did he?
Yeah.
I've seen him stream it and stuff before. Hmm. Yeah, but then there's a new gen out now that has, 1 bajillion p resolution. I don't know what it is. Whatever the newest one is. It's really nice. So, it's $500 or something.
Crazy.
Well, it's, you don't need a monitor after that. Just strap in.
True. So, I think we've gotten through our worst booths at PAX. So, why don't we quickly go through some of the swag.
Swag.
This is pretty much the only time it's acceptable to use the word swag.
Swag.
Even then, that's kind of a stretch.
Swag surfing.
Shirts.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, I think of out of all of them, the one I like the most was the Twitch shirt.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I don't know, the Lichdom shirt was pretty good.
That's true, yeah. That one had the coolest picture.
Watch out, we got a badass over here.
Looks like we got a badass over here.
It's like the meme of, I think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, with his hands up, and it's...
He's got fireballs in him.
He's got two fireballs he's shooting out like a battle man.
Or if you're on a woman, it's her boobs.
Oh yeah, so just to go over that, the whole at the Lichdom thing, they made us yell every time. They're like, show us your best battle mage, and they're like, battle mage, and everyone had to yell it before. They were doing like a giveaway, everyone had to yell it. And then the other thing they said, they continued saying, like, they drilled this in our heads every time we, like, saw any of the dudes.
We wanted mages to be, instead of the typical glass cannon, we wanted them to be a titanium cannon.
So basically, from that point on until the day we left, every 5 minutes it was, battle mage or titanium cannon.
The worst part is the game was you were not a titanium cannon. You were like a fucking China cannon. Like you got one shotted. You're just like I felt like I was stronger in Skyrim. Anyways, what other swag did we get?
Well,
we got
actually,
the Grey Goo t-shirt.
Yeah, Grey Goo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ryan get like he got like an actual gray goo. Like,
yeah, actually, I have it still here. I was like kind of jiggling it around earlier. So. It makes a really good sound. Let me get it.
Brandon loves this thing. Oh god. Lord noise.
That is terrible. That's a fapping noise right there.
Another swag that we got included the friggin' QR code hunt quiz that Nick and I did wandering around the building.
Oh my god. Yeah, there was.
Did you guys finish those?
Yeah.
You didn't get it?
You got something super dumb, I heard.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing. Like, what was pretty it? Terrible. So, just for a little background, there's like the entire Penny Arcade, like PAX East, got everyone at PAX East could go around and look for 16 different QR codes, which were scattered around on PAX East like poster things and on like tables and
throughout
whatnot.
A million square feet building.
Yeah, it was enormous. So it took an extremely long time. So Charles and I walk around and we get the last one after talking to a couple people and finding out where a couple of the last ones were. We get to the end and we find out that it is a Rubik's Cube with like PAX stickers on the outside of it.
It wasn't even a full Rubik's Cube.
It's 4x4x4.
What? You're kidding, right?
No. That's so bogus.
That is lame.
Congratulations. Yeah.
That's always the worst, dude. When there's like some where they force you to invest like a lot of time to get something.
Yeah.
And to invest like that much time and like get that, like, ugh.
It's totally
the funny
a
thing
ploy
is like
to
all the swag
people.
I got, like my Grey Goo shirt and my like Battle Mage shirt or whatever, like I spent like 20 minutes combined on them. I just like walked up and they're like, here, fucking take this thing. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, seriously. I think that's just a ploy to get people out of the floor and
yeah, dude. Room. My favorite part was we were waiting in the Titanfall line and we saw John Grani and Dean where they're like walking around and all of a sudden they're like we only need like three more QR codes and like one of them's on that TV over there and it was on it and they sprinted over like little kids and they're like take a picture screaming and then some other guy was like he was like screaming from down like the line he's like take a snapshot he like needed it too he wanted them to like take a picture so he could like scan their picture and then they got it and they're like yeah they're like jumping and shit and then the guy comes over and he's like no he didn't get it he had like a back brace and shit like, he was, like, super nerdy. He was so nerdy. Oh my god. Anyways, that was so funny. They sprinted like so fast. They were like mid conversation. They're like, "Oh, we need it on that TV." Sprinted. Anyways, that was ridiculous because they said it only showed up like every like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They said they were waiting there for like 10 minutes and it hadn't showed up, and they like gave up and started finding other ones.
That one was definitely kind of luck based, unless you sat and waited for it.
Which is what we
did. Yeah.
They're like, oh, there's one on the TV. Okay, let's just sit. Which was a nice relief from walking around constantly.
Yeah.
And standing on hard concrete.
So I came away. I mean, it's not exactly. Well, I guess it is swag.
Yeah, you got the best one out of anyone.
Yeah, that was legit.
I was very lucky because I was just walking around, like I was by myself, and I walked past the like the Sony PlayStation community booth, and they're like, "Oh, in 5 minutes, Guerrilla Games is going to be doing a trivia session." And I was like, "All right, you know, I'll stick around. I'll see what they're giving out and whatnot." They gave away like a bunch of dog tags. They gave away a copy of the game, a copy of some of the DLC that they're coming out with, and the final question was for a controller. It was a PlayStation 4 controller that was modded on the outside, so it's pure white. And they only ever made 10 of them because it went the winners of the first international Killzone tournament were the only ones to ever receive them, except for this one.
it's so ridiculous.
The question was what was the building that Guerrilla Games is in now? What was it prior to them moving in? And I was just like, I was thinking to myself, I was like, a bank. And it was right, and I got it, and it was like, this is fucking ridiculous. And then all the little bitches around me were like, do you even have a PlayStation 4? And I was like, yes, I fucking have a PlayStation 4. Like, eat my asshole. Like, this is you're dumb right now. You're just being a little bitch. Like,
people get so bitchy when they don't win stuff.
And the kid next to me had already won stuff. I was like, come on.
What an asshole.
So, whatever. So yeah, that was awesome. In terms of other swag, like the Wolfenstein bags,
not something that you really use.
They're basically like little canvas man purses, but
yeah,
yeah. They definitely they literally looked like a purse. They were like baby sized.
Just to put your little Nazi dog inside.
At WildStar, they had like a thing where you spun, and they were giving most people like a little, they called it a phone wiper, but it was like a little roused hour, like a little sheep thing on like a little hook. So you like hook it on something and wipe your phone. And I was like, oh, I've never heard of a phone wiper before, but all right. So I got that, and then I was like angry that I got that, so I went back and redid it was like a little quiz they had to take. So, I redid it and I got a shirt. So nice. I was happy about that. But then
I played the game. I didn't even fucking fill that damn thing out.
Yeah, the shirt this year, it's like it looks cooler than the one last year, but it's not as nice of a shirt. So,
oh, okay.
But to go back to Twitch, they actually they gave you like a little one of those drawstring backpacks, and inside was like a Twitch shirt that everyone got, and then they gave you like a little egg thing, and. I got another shirt that's like the Kappa icon, which is like, I had to like look all this shit up because I don't know what any of that Twitch, like this whole thing where like I've seen it before in chat and I just didn't care enough to figure out what they meant, but apparently they all like mean different things. So I guess Kappa is like sarcasm or something. I don't know. But so I got a shirt for that. And then Nick, you got a mystery game code.
I got a mystery game code, which would have been cool had it been a cool game. But I was like, it was for Xbox 360. So I was just like, all right, whatever. I'll just throw it on Twitter and see if someone gets it. And apparently it was a free game code for Magic the Gathering 2013. And I was like,
we'll give away like a year old game.
So, yeah.
It like would have been better if it was like the original Team Fortress, but
yeah,
I didn't even get an egg in my bag.
Yeah, Charles got hosed.
Yeah, that was weird.
He got a rotten egg.
Literally.
Oompa loompa loompa. All
right. Well, I think we should. I think we need to get into the most important thing of PAX, which is the parties, the after parties. Mm-hmm. And there's I think all of us did a ton of research prior to this.
We did a home's work.
Like, prior to this past weekend, trying to figure out exactly which parties are going to be the best, which will give us the most swag, which will have the most, like, drinks and stuff, and also trying to plan it so that we could make it to every single one of them.
Return on investment is the most important.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had, like, 20 emails from parties that I'd RSVP'd to.
So I think we should, kind of go through just our like night by night, because it starts out fairly solemn and then goes to, epic. So
Thursday night, there was nothing game related. No. We just got drunk.
Yeah. We went out, yeah. we had some drinks, we had some food. Steve and I had just a side of French fries.
Yeah, dude. We should have got.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. We got a side of French fries and like a half a teaspoon of ketchup.
It was. Yeah. It's fucked up. They always do that there. They're fucking Nazis. that's like torture, man. They do that shit in Guantanamo Bay. Give them a whole bunch of French fries and give them a fucking one ketchup packet.
I'm fine with it. I like my ketchup's dry.
It's disgusting.
Terrible.
Anyways, that happened, and then we went to this really cool bar called Meat Hall in Cambridge, and they have, like, a ridiculous amount of beer on tap.
Yeah,
crazy. And,
we had a bunch of weird beers, and for some reason we took a shot. I don't know why that happened.
That's right.
A shot at a beer hall.
Randomly gave Tim a shot from across the way. We're like, hey, can I get a shot?
And Nick, you didn't have one,
no,
right?
No, I...
Which is ironic.
I feel like you guys feel out who's, especially Mike, like, was feeling out who he knew would reliably take a shot if he gave it to them.
Yeah.
And, like, as soon as I agreed to it, I was like, oh, fuck. And then he bought me one, like, every single time he went out. And I was just like, I'm not going to survive this night.
Yeah.
So on the way back, Nick was making fun of somebody or something. I don't remember what.
I don't know what was happening, but I like, jumped up in the air. At some point, and I was like, I apparently didn't have any sense of where my feet were, and completely landed, like, I jumped up probably 4 feet in the air, and landed down onto my ankle, and, like,
full force
popped it, like, sideways, and just collapsed into a heap on the ground. I was like,
he was like, great fall.
Oh. And then, so everybody was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, what just happened? I was like, oh, bad things. I hurt myself real bad.
I was like, walking off.
So
kid was limping.
Yeah, I limped real hard, real bad back to our apartment, and I get back.
He was like limping. He was like limping around, and then everyone was like peeing on stuff. It was bad. And then at one point we found a huge heap of like shit that someone was throwing out of their house, and there was like rugs, like rolled up rugs, which somebody like unrolled and like walked the red carpet, and there was like shit being thrown everywhere. I'm pretty sure I took a table all the way back to my house yet just to throw out, like, for no reason. Like, I was like, why do I have this fucking thing? I just put it in a pile of like trash.
Yeah, so I went back to Tim's brother's apartment, and I took and Charles came up with us to grab some N64 controllers that I had brought, and I was like, I need to lay down, like, I'm not feeling good right now. I take my shoe off, and my ankle is literally like the size of a grapefruit, and it's the most awful thing I've ever seen. And
yeah, you were pale.
Charles comes in and goes, Nick was real pale. I'm like, oh god.
Yeah. My brother had like one like half size ice cube in the entire refrigerator.
So
he does not believe in ice.
So yeah, that happened. Oh, so, God, so I ended up having to go get an air cast from the 24-hour CVS like the following morning before we.
Yeah, we woke like we got back probably like 2 or 3 a.m. and then woke up like 6 a.m. and then you were like you were still in pain, I could tell. And then we got up, I was still, we were both still, I know, I was drunk, yeah, you know, oh, I was yeah, definitely. Drunk. Like, I was just like, I'm gonna ride this down as long as I can. And we go to CVS and bought that little like splint thing for your ankle. Like, I don't know how you would have survived without that,
guy,
man.
The guy that helped us find it in the store was like, oh, is that a soccer injury? I'm like, I wish it was a soccer
He's
injury.
He's like, no, we're just drunk.
You're like, you could say I kicked the ground pretty hard.
The world is my soccer ball.
And then once we got back to Steve's place, we played Super Smash Bros. And then
I fucking crushed all y'all. Brandon just played, but he doesn't know how to play fucking at all. So all he does is play Pikachu and just down B, shoot lightning bolts down on everyone the whole time. Pika! Over and over again.
Yeah.
So that happened.
But so then, yeah. So then we went to PAX the next morning early. Well, yeah.
Really early.
I had to rile everyone.
Yeah. So this was this was Friday. Yeah. And we went to see Evil Within. This was like opening day. We weren't completely jaded yet at that point.
Really? Yeah.
So
then after, what did we do?
Friday night was the IGN party.
We went to Harpoon.
Oh yeah.
So we went to Harpoon.
What time did we get there? It's like 5:00.
We got there at 5:00, like shortly after 5:00.
5:15 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So if there's anything you need to know
this
about
was
PAX,
great.
You need to be anywhere like an hour or two ahead of time.
The thing is, like, I feel like typically we need to be there like an hour early, but this year so many people, we needed to be there like 2 hours early.
Yeah.
Like, and we did. Like, when you needed to be, there were so many people. The lines were just ridiculous. And we can tell this story, and this will attest, because...
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was insane. Like, I had tweeted out to the Eric Martin, the guy who from IGN who had been kind of, like, in charge of the party, and because he had mentioned that there was going to be a limited number of unlimited beer bracelets.
Cha-ching!
So we were like, oh my god, we need to get those. Like, this is imperative. Like, this is what we have to do. So, so I tweeted out, I was like, yeah, you know, how many bracelets are you going to be giving out? And he's, what does limited mean? And he said, 40. I was like, oh boy, we got to get there real early. So, so we got down there 5:15 and, you know, nobody knows what's going on.
Nobody at Harpoon knows what's going on.
Yeah, we go to Harpoon Brewery. We go upstairs, and it's super packed with just regular restaurant patrons, and they're just like, yeah, the party hasn't started. IGN's not here. We have no idea what's going on. We're gonna probably kick everyone out and then bring everyone back in because it was a private section that they had reserved. So we go outside after that. And there's still people inside, and we were like, all right, well, let's start a line. Like, let's just, like, fake it and say that, you know, okay, this is the line for the IGN party.
Yeah, because really, how else did they work at it? They didn't do that. It would have been freaking madhouse.
Oh, my God. So, we're like, the first 10. There's probably 3 people that are not in our group in front of us, plus some of the people that are upstairs, and, and then by the time the party like is about to start, there were at least 300 people behind us.
There were
like,
over so yeah. So the max possible that would actually even entirely fit in that entire building was 300. And then by the time I was ready to go in, they were turning people away. Like half the line turned around and left because there were over 300 people in line. It was just crazy.
Yeah, because they came and they're like, okay, so we're only gonna let 80 people in.
Dude.
And
not even all of those are going to even have that you can drink passes.
Oh, only the first 40 are going to get the all you can drink passes. So, well, we were in that first 40 and we drank all we could.
And we ate plenty of soft, delicious pretzels.
Yeah.
With hot, spicy mustard.
I ate so many flipping pretzels. I must have eaten like 6 pretzels.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's all I had for dinner that night.
And I got in a fight with the freaking waitress because of the pretzels, because she came. Wait, did you hear this story? You must have heard this.
Oh yeah.
So when she came over and she was like, and like somebody, I don't know who it was like, can we buy food here? And she was like, no, but we're serving pretzels. And I was like, okay, but like, I was like, okay, but imagine like I leave this private party and I go into this bar area where there's a bar. Like, is there a menu to buy food? And she goes, no, we have pretzels like in the back. I'm like, but in the bar area, is there food? Like, and then it was really awkward and she said no and then she left.
It's fine. I think it was that same waitress that she had come over and wiped down
the table. That was.
She came over and wiped down the table and I
immediately, like, she was like, her hand had left the table.
And I drunkenly, I use my hands a lot when I talk because I'm just like very, very intense when I'm having conversations sometimes. And my hand goes out and I knock over a half a glass of like hard cider and it goes all over the section she had just wiped down.
Clean it up again.
The best part is like we're just like, oh, you just spilt all that free beer.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just have to go get another one.
It's delicious beer. Delicious.
It was so good.
Yeah.
We had a really good time at that party. Talked to a lot of strangers.
Yep. About Game of Thrones.
Shout out.
All I did was look over and see Charles speaking extremely violently and animated to some people that we didn't know. I was like, oh my
shout
god.
Shout out to Frank. Shout out to Jackie.
Shout outs.
I don't remember the name of that third guy because he didn't speak a word.
Shout out to that guy.
Was it Adam?
I don't remember.
Maybe.
He was the one who was not getting married. Frank and Jackie were.
Yeah.
Were getting
they
married.
They were engaged to be. They were betrothed.
Betrothed.
So yeah, that was that party. And Friday night, I think, although it was unlimited, I don't think we went as hard as we probably could have.
Well, it was only for 3 hours, so it wasn't like.
Sure.
It was done by, it started at what, like 6 or 7, and it was done by 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty quick.
After that ended, we went back to, we roamed back to PAX and did PC free play, and Nick went to the GameScoop session.
IGN podcast, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And then, the next morning we got up early, went to PAX again, you know, went all day, not everybody. Charles, Tim, and I, got to PAX early, and we got there probably about 8, and stood in line for a couple hours until 10. But after Saturday, Charles and I had gone around looking for those QR codes, and then we went. Then we're like, "All right, let's." You know, I'm kind of done with the show floor right now, so we picked up our friend named Omeka who. We had met actually at a party several years ago.
An IGN party.
Yes. And
I think it was the first year that we went, right?
Yeah, that was the first year. And he came out with Charles and I, and we walked all the way out to Boston Common to this place called Royale. And
Royale with cheese.
And there was a Wolfenstein party going on there, and that was, I mean, it was cool because we got in and we got 2 free drinks, like a plate of food and swag, which we ended up getting the Wolfenstein bag. But the party was just weird. Like the first thing we did when we walked in, there was a PlayStation 4 set up with Wolfenstein to play, so you could play through like an entire level of Wolfenstein, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
it's not easy, that game, I tell you.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I don't know. I didn't see anything that like super drew me in, but I'm sure there's other things about it. So despite that, the whole vibe of the party, it was like this band called like Pop Music or something, and it felt very like. like Nazi propaganda film type.
Basically, weirdness. The whole premise of the party was supposed to be the alternate universe if the Nazis won the world in World War II. So they come out and they're playing all this like American and British pop music, but it's all in German, sung by Germans. Right. And then the guy comes out and he's like the announcer guy, and he's speaking only in German, like. what? Then we think it's going to end at some point, but no, he just calls up another guy who then just starts speaking in German again, and then he starts singing in German. The entire thing is in German. And you're just like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So after that, you know,
that started
at 6, and then basically as soon as we finished our drinks, we left. And went to the Sanchi party, which was definitely the highlight party of the entire weekend. Like beyond, without a doubt, like it was the best. It was so awesome. Like.
I think it was the party that we were all kind of looking forward to the most, because we had last year we had such a good time, and we know the owners, you know, so it was kind of like
last podcast.
Yeah, so it was a chance to see them and a chance to catch up, because we had a lot of people going, so
yeah,
a chance for us all to be there at once and have a good time.
Yeah,
and it didn't disappoint.
No, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
That was at Stadium, which is like down, like a financial district in Boston. And, yeah, I don't remember a lot.
We got there, and it was, you got there a little later than that. So Steve, Ryan, Brandon, and Mikey got there earlier with Kurt. And then me, Nick, and Emeka arrived, I went in because I had my bracelet to find out if Steve was there to try to get a mecha in, because it was a cover you had to pay for. So we all kind of went in. We got some food, get a little bit to drink. They gave us a couple of drink tickets to start out with, which was okay. I mean, we got our free drinks. And then
yeah, and they did just so they know, they did like a special drink thing where they make like game themed drinks, so they had like,
yeah, it's cool.
I forget they had like the one of the ones that they've always had was green Turian, which I don't even know what's in it, but it tastes delicious. I don't, it doesn't taste like there's any alcohol in it, but
mm-hmm.
And then there's I forget what the ring call, it's from
I
can't even think of the game, but yeah, it's like
they had a BioShock Infinite one.
Yeah, they had a bunch of them. But it was pretty cool. It was cool to have like that game theme to it.
It's also really funny to like ask the bartenders for the drinks because they're super confused.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, I asked the lady like 3 times with like this loud ass music, and she was like,
you're like, can I get the 7 life or whatever it was called? And
yeah,
you're like, can I just get a 7 and 7?
It was the Stanley Potable, which is whiskey and Sprite, or whiskey and
ginger. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, just give me a 7-7.
It's like the Stanley Potable.
She's like, huh?
So yeah, we got a bunch of those drink tickets. We each got the drinks, and then we had to buy a few. And then, like, gradually things started to escalate when we got more tickets from Marty, and we got more tickets from Steve. We went and got the drinks.
Mm. Yeah, those guys are crazy, man. It's awesome. It's just such a great time.
And then eventually, a red bracelet wound up on my wrist, which was like.
Caused, like the VIP bracelet.
Yeah. Cause for doom.
Charles was anointed by the drink gods.
Cause for doom, because I was like, so many times I would go up and be like, I just buy for the whole group. And then, like, some guy randomly was talking to me in line. He's like, oh, did I cut you? And I was like, no, you're good. You can go first. You probably need it more than me. And so then he's like trying to buy my drink. And I'm like, no.
I think the best was that, like, we went downstairs and we saw Steve Deal break dance.
Oh my god, yeah. He was ridiculous.
And then at some point Charles disappeared and he was like in the VIP section, which I wasn't allowed into. So then I don't know who showed, I think Charles showed me that there was like a back way down.
The back way.
So I went down, I kept just going down the back way, yeah, and I was like talking to some kids and like they were from like Virginia. Charles was like making so many friends and they're like, I'm like, who are these people?
You just start talking to people about podcasts and nonsense.
Yeah, we started throwing our stickers all over the place. And Ryan was just handing them to every person, and they would look at us so confused.
Oh, really? Was? They didn't know that.
Just handing them a cat.
I think the best part was that at one point, Mike started like arm wrestling Steve. Oh, and then it just like did not turn out in Mike's favor. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, Steve Deal is like bench pressing Mike about to death.
Mecca finally got in too, and then he was crushing kids on
it was Marvel vs. Capcom he was playing.
Oh, Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there was like a gamer underground group, and so there were a bunch of kids that had like brought their own like fighting stick pads, and I mean they were like, you know, they were pretty legit in terms of
knowing
how to play it. So they started playing Emeka, and Emeka was just like schooling them for a long time, and the drunker he got, like the more shit he talked while he was playing with them. And I don't think they knew how to handle that, because they definitely like they're like, it it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, there was a lot of I did a lot of dancing downstairs, even though like I was like, okay, yeah, my ankle is definitely hurting me right now, but I can't feel it, so I'm just gonna keep dancing. Dancing feels too good to stop. And then, what else happened? Like, what else happened at the party?
Nothing.
A few other.
I remember going outside and seeing
Mike.
Mike, after he got kicked out of the bar.
I don't know. I don't know if we want to.
Reasons unknown.
I don't even know if we want to talk about the reason for that one.
it's not appropriate. Yeah. It's not podcast
appropriate. Even this podcast is not appropriate. If we see you in person, maybe we'll tell you sometime. But so he got kicked out of the bar. And the best part was like,
we haven't even got to the best part of the people on this podcast.
I know.
Nice.
I know. So Mike just had been standing outside, and apparently, after he got kicked out, all he kept saying to the bouncer was like, "This is America! This is America! I can't..." And apparently the bouncer was like, "You're a douchebag, get out of here."
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we should just go into... Because
So we departed after this. It was like 2 a.m. We were leaving from the bar and going back to our respective places of rest.
Yes.
So we were walking in the middle of Boston, and then all of a sudden we were like, "Where's Charles?" we were all together, and Charles was not with us, and we were just like, "Oh, the city has him. He's been taken.
He's dead."
And we looked for a while, and then we were just like, "All right."
We looked for an hour. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it didn't seem like an hour to me. I was just walking.
So at this point, we still had no idea where Charles was. Like, we had basically given him up for like, okay, well, you know, our podcast is going to be three people now. This is like, this is just how it's going to be. And
I'd given him myself in the streets. I was prepared to live like a rabbit in the bush and feed on veggies.
So then we get on the red line to go back to Cambridge, and we're on the train, we get off the train, and literally, when we get off the train, Charles gets off the same train!
We're like, what?!
Like, two cars ahead of us, like, how did this happen?
And the best part is, I'm pretty sure, didn't you just, like, join our group? Like, not even saying
anything. Well, that's the thing, I walked off the train, I was just, I was looking around, I was like, "Wait, Charles, what are you doing here?"
I feel like it's like a movie!
I was so happy to see you guys, though. I was like, "Oh, thank God!" I'm gonna have to sleep outside Steve's place.
And then after that, like, we tried to go up this side staircase of the T station, and it had already the gate was already locked. Like, we went over to the stairs, and the gate was like chained shut, like padlocked. So we're like, shit, like, all right, we have to go around. So we went to the up escalator, and this there was this drunk guy that had been following us around and kept wanting us to, like, he's like, "Dude, I have so much weed back in my apartment, like, we should go get stoned." And we're like, all right, yeah, you're like, the guy was in like his 40s and he was completely drunk. And so he's like, he's on the escalator and in front, sort of in front of us.
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah. I don't remember this guy.
I don't remember the guy, but I remember Steve Fallon.
It's, well, because you were you were like not there. That's why.
Oh, I was already upstairs.
So we're going up the escalator, and I'm on the left side of the escalator. The drunk guy is like ahead of me to my right. Mike Adonazio is sort of to my right and behind me a little bit, and then Steve is like right behind Mike, and then Tim is right behind Steve, and this drunk guy, like,
oh, I was like a couple. You were a couple steps back.
And I think I was like running up at the time.
It was just terrible. So this drunk guy, like, he's like, duh, and then he like completely loses his balance and like falls into Mike Adonazio, and everyone's drunk, so nobody's balance is good. Like, so Mike Adonazio is like, oh shit, like, and he just starts falling backwards, and he's falling back, and Steve, like, Mike runs into Steve, and like, so everyone's falling, everyone's like, I'm like, oh shit, this is so bad. So I jump forward and I grab Mike Adonazio by like the collar of his shirt, and I pull him back, and then all I see is Steve just like, it was like in slow motion from where I was standing. So we're going up an escalator, and Steve is falling backwards and just barrel rolling down the escalator.
It's like what you see in movies when someone like falls downstairs and breaks their back. It's like,
it was the worst. And like, I'm pretty sure, like, I think all of us had this moment where like we made eye contact while he was in the infinity barrel roll, and like he was like, I feel like there was a smile on his face, but there was like so much fear in his eyes.
He was saved.
Yeah.
So apparently, yeah. Well, then I fell into Tim. And Tim saved me from falling forever, basically.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
And apparently, I jumped right up and started laughing and sprinting up the stairs. That's
what I did. Thankfully, you had a couple drinks in you at that point.
I mean, honestly, the fact that my face wasn't like destroyed and I didn't have any broken bones was like, I felt pretty happy about like the situation.
I mean,
they say your body's more relaxed when you've got some lubricant in you.
You just, the only thing you came away with was like a bruise and this like this cut that kind of looks like some beast like chewed into your arm.
Yeah, I look like I fucking fought. I mean, it's a very good spacing. It's like almost the spacing of an escalator stair. It's great. So yeah, I just remember falling and like feeling like, you know, like when you fall, you kind of like. It's pretty much like how you'd imagine. It's like you fell, but like the floor was actually hurting my like it was like I'm falling and I want to regain my balance, but the floor was actually like literally coming up from underneath me. Like I was just like it was making me flip faster, which is like literally what was happening. But that's what it felt like.
Rough.
So I don't know how I didn't like have like I don't know how I didn't hurt my head or my back. Like it's just my arm and my legs. So.
You fell. I mean.
I don't even know
how
that's...
You must have fallen, like, perfectly.
It looked like a controlled roll. It looked like you were, like, a stunt double going, like, doing a flip downstairs.
Yep.
Maybe I should ask the Red Line for some, like, security footage.
Oh, my God.
Should have some...
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Sure, there was some guy in some booth laughing his ass off.
I'd pay some serious cash to see that video.
So after all this happens, we get off the Red Line, and I'm like, ready to go to bed, because, like, I have a bus to catch at South Station at 6 a.m. And it's like, it's like 3:30 at this point. And, everyone's like, let's go get falafel at the Falafel Palace. And I'm like, no, no.
we had to go back to Steve's place to get the controllers, right?
Controller, that the one controller that Charles forgot to give.
Okay.
So we went to the Falafel Palace and, Charles, Mike Bean and I were all sitting outside, and Mike Bean was in a bad place. Like he had a lot to drink, and he had literally passed out on the side of the Falafel Palace, and he was
white like a ghost and just not talking and just like staring off in the distance and like
that's pretty much what he's like every time we drink. You just don't know.
And then everybody got their falafel. And we're like, all right, Mike, you know, we gotta go. And he just gets up and vomits all over the side of the Flopple Palace.
Well, he was nice enough to go, like, way behind the building, and he was just like, wah, wah.
And then...
He booted in rally.
And then, he zombie walked, like, all the way back to to Steve's place. And,
oh, God. All I know is that, like, as along the walk home, the story of me falling down the stairs slowly escalated from... This guy bumping into us and falling too. This guy kicking me down the stairs yelling, this is Sparta! And I was like, why didn't you guys beat the shit out of him? We had a posse. We should have fucked him up. This is like the one time in my life I got like 10 dudes rolling with me. And somebody kicked me down the stairs. That's all I remember. Like, it was like a completely different story. Yeah.
Well, I remember somebody saying that he booked it when he got to the top of the stairs.
I'm pretty sure that did happen.
That legitimately did happen, because he saw someone fall, and he was like, that was probably my fault, so I'm leaving.
And just darted off.
I couldn't have caught him even if I wanted to. Freaking stumbling after him, like, oh, I get my feet.
That was fine.
Yeah. So, we finally...
That was pretty much it.
We finally picked up the stuff. We got back to, we dropped everybody off at Steve's apartment, and then we went back to, where Tim and I were staying, and it was like 4:15 in the morning. Damn it, I have to be up at 4:45 so I can catch this bus. And so,
such is
I woke up, and I'm like, I get all my stuff together, and I head down to the T station, and I'm like, oh shit. Like, the T doesn't start until 6 a.m. on Sundays. So, I did not catch the T, and instead had to take a cab all the way to South Station from there. But, that was that.
That sucked.
Yeah, it's probably better. I'm sure you didn't want to be on that damn subway again. Not anyways. Really.
But.
you didn't fall, so.
So yeah, that's it. That was our weekend. And we are at like an hour and a half of recording right now, so I think we're just gonna go. I think we're just gonna Is anybody playing a game right now?
Sorry.
Not
Is anyone still listening
are you still
to us
there?
Right now? Is anybody even listening?
Hello?
What are
I know, ate those lunches, that damn Sasquatch.
talking about horseshoes, are there horse socks? Is anybody listening to me? Oh, goddamn.
If peeing your pants is cool, then you should call me Miles Davis.
I love Billy Madison, so good. Alright, well, that brings us to the end of our podcast, because... Everyone is probably asleep.
It's time to go to sleep.
I'm going to be... I need to sleep.
Yeah. I'm half dead anyway.
I must rest.
We promise we won't talk about all our drunken stories until next year's PAX.
Unless you want...
Yep.
Unless you want to hear actually, more, of course, which we can certainly...
Late night drunks.
That is what happens. So...
Yep.
Well, this has been... our post-PAX show... So,
post-PAX debrief.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 32. We will see you next week, and I'm going to bed.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
Oh, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Damn.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
So I figured out where I wound up.
Charles, where did you wind up?
Well, it looks like I wound up near the Science Park station, because I can see on the map, like, the place where I stopped that had to go pee in the bushes.
Yeah, I know where you went now.
So I went further up.
You walked?
I walked, yeah.
And you caught, and you got to the station before we got there?
I got to the Charles MGH station, it looks like.
Oh, and then you took that.
How did you walk there, Charles? Jesus Christ. It's like a decent walk, man.
All I know is it would have taken me like 2 hours to get where you got, and somehow you were just there.
Charles' stride is like 5 times the normal man's stride.
Well, after I realized that, I kept walking faster and faster because it was like...
not only that, but you were drunk, like just meandering about, and you wound up like, of all the... First of all, you wound up at the right station, and you got on the right train.